Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit.
On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about taking managing the client experience to the next level, part two, with the help of special guest Jeremy Kelly of Back Construction in Lexington, Kentucky. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host, Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Tim Fowler Show. I am Tim Fowler, just encouraging you to keep the ideas coming in for the show. Send them to me at tim@remodelersadvantage.com. In our last episode with Jeremy Kelly from Back Construction, we focused a lot on just understanding temperament and personality and how that really, really impacts the way we communicate with other people. The company uses the DISC profile. There are others that can be used in accomplishing similar kinds of things. And we focused a little bit more in that episode on the internal type communication between project managers. And Jeremy gave us some great examples of how he's adapted some of his communication style to coach up his project managers that may have a little bit of a weakness in one area, and which is indicated by the DISC, but they still have to be something to be in the role they're in. So he uses these assessments to see people as they are and then help them to do their jobs despite, and I even hate to use the term weakness because, you know, it makes it sound like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just who we are. And so we're going to focus a little bit more in this episode on the external client. The last one was the internal client. This one's the external client. These are the folks that we deal with on a daily basis, building those homes that they're going to love, remodeling their homes. We're in their kitchens. We're in their bathrooms. We're in their basements. We're with them all the time. And so how do we use a view of the temperaments to enable us to communicate a little more effectively with those external clients? And how does a company help their team do that more effectively? I think that's what we want to find out. So, Steve, let's just jump right in.
Let's do it. So Jeremy Kelly has been in the residential remodeling business for over 20 years, from owning his own design build company to currently serving as director of the remodeling division for Back Construction, having joined the company 4 years ago. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, this is the second of two, so it's great to have you back. And so just in case anybody missed that first episode that you were on with us, give us a little bit about Back Construction and what your role there is.
Okay. Back Construction has been around for 40 years, and we do over 1,000 projects a year, from remodeling division to between our windows and doors division, handyman, roofing, and architectural design division. And I serve kind of a dual role as both the production manager and the director of the remodeling division. So I'm both managing projects and some clients, but also managing the managers here in our remodeling division.
Yeah. And so that was the big deal in the first episode we did, was just how you use the temperaments to adapt so you can do a better job of managing. And I felt like just some amazing points. So again, if you didn't hear that one, go back one episode, pick it up, listen to it carefully, especially if you're a manager in a company that's responsible for other people and their performance. So in that episode, again, just a little bit of repeat here before we get into the details of our external clients, we talked about two things. I just want you to kind of refresh us too. One of them was the listening aspect, and maybe a little bit more about, like, what do we need to be doing with our clients, our external clients, in terms of the listening? And then the other point was you got to know who you are and how you communicate. So give us a little bit about both of those, and then we'll jump into a little more specifics.
Okay. Well, I think one of the key assessments out there that can help you determine how you communicate and learn how other people communicate is through the DISC assessment. So it's a temperament assessment. There's a few others out there, but DISC seems to be one of the more popular ones. So going through that with your team, having all of you do the assessments, and you can better understand of what makes people tick and how what information they like and how they like it delivered. The other big thing as far as listening goes, we just know that a big thing of us with our external clients is building rapport. So building rapport, building trust, a lot of times will come by listening well. So you listen and you ask more questions to our clients. And the more you can get them to open up, the better chance you have the understanding what their pain is, maybe what they are most concerned about, maybe previous bad experiences, you know, that you can learn from and what to be more cognizant of. So listening well, listening for those different types of temperaments so you can better serve your client.
So one of the things I've learned about myself is that I like to talk, and I think that gets in the way sometimes. And I like to answer before maybe I've really listened. And so I think what you're telling us is something that Jeff Borowitz mentioned in a podcast, that you really need to learn how to ask questions, and particularly from your clients, because you're not around them all the time. You know, you're not, it's not like you've got a year to figure them out. You've got to figure them out very quickly in the process. Is that kind of the idea there?
It very much is. So on the production side, when our sales professional hand over the project to production, one of the fuzzy file questions, as I call them, is that we try to figure out what kind of temperament that client has. And what's difficult with our clients, that most of the time there is a spouse involved. So you have two temperaments to consider. So both, we talk about those. Sometimes they're more, they're easier to assess than others, right? So, and I will interject that no matter what temperament the client has, there's still some core things you have to hit every time. As a professional project manager, lead carpenter, we have to be able to, you know, communicate with our clients well, keep them up to date, and make sure to keep them involved. But certain temperaments may lend themselves of not wanting to be as involved as others, right? So in that DISC assessment, you learn like a high D, that dominant type, they really want to know how they're tracking along with the schedule. Like it's a game, it's a lot more of a game, and they want to win on budget and schedule more than they want to know just how did you go about installing that heat to floor tile. you know, the high C is a more conscientious client, and they would love to know what product you use for that heated floor tile and the process that you went through to do it and do it well. So those are some of the things that we try.
So let me just, I think you went by it really fast, but I want to bring it up. You literally have what you call a fuzzy file that the salesperson will communicate to the project manager, like who these clients are, the temperaments of the clients, and maybe how they've found the communication should go?
That's correct. It's in the form of a few questions on the internal handoff checklist. So one of the big questions is, hey, what kind of temperament do you think the client is? Of course, those other things like, hey, do they have a cat, a dog? What kind of pets do they have? You know, what other things you got to be careful that, hey, do they have a heirloom rose bush that needs to be, you know, cared for? So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fuzzy file that's discussed during that internal handoff.
Okay. So let's just assume that you've been through that internal handoff and now the project manager has this information at their disposal. What are you doing in terms of training those project managers to get ready for the communication? Because I'm kind of assuming, you can tell me if I've missed this, but I'm kind of assuming they really may not have even met the client yet, may not have even, you know, gotten a glimpse of the project. And like right away, they're going to have to start communicating with this client. And it seems like a minefield. And so what do you train your project managers to do with that information that comes from sales?
Well, the key thing is to understand as much as you can about the client, what you're getting into before we do the on-site handoff with the client involved. Okay. So that first impression, it means a lot for the customer, right? So anything we can do to set us up to win with that customer is what we're looking at. And one of the biggest things we can do is make sure we have the information to provide to them in a way that they want to hear it. So if we know that's a high D, a dominant kind of personality, you got to come to that on-site handoff with a schedule and your anticipated completion date when you're going to start. And you want to be very, direct. You need to be kind, but direct and to the point. The high eyes, you can tell they like to talk a lot. They get very energetic. They want to see a little energy out of you, that you're kind of excited about the project. So where our guys will really tailor a little bit there, say, hey, to that high eye, one big thing is I tell the guys to say is to sell our team, sell our design team, sell our staff, and whoever the lead carpenter or work supervisor is going to be there, you reassure them that they're great, and you love working with Krista's design. She does great design. So those are kind of things you're just trying to throw in there just as a starter so that customer just has that warm and fuzzy feeling when you get that project started and hand it off.
So now I'm sitting here hearing my audience go like, so what you're doing is you're telling them the lie, right?
No, it's not a lie. We want to sell our team. We have a great team, but it's just how you deliver the information. We do it, our project managers, like I said, we manage a lot of projects at one time. We do it every day. These projects are like our customer. This may be the only remodel project they're ever going to do in their life, and it's their home. It's a big deal. So, and this may be the biggest investment into their home they're ever going to do. So it is a very serious matter. They pay a lot of money for us to deliver a good, great service, both with the product and the way we communicate with them.
Do your project managers come to you every now and then and say, hey, how do you think I ought to handle this on-site handoff meeting with the client? I see that they are this personality, and what do you think? Is that part of the training that goes on for you guys?
We bring it up in the internal handoff, which I try to attend most all of those. I think it comes up more when there might be a client that may not be completely satisfied, or they just don't feel like they're just hitting the nail on the head. Like, what am I doing wrong here? Like, we're on schedule, we're doing this or that, and this doesn't seem like I'm just connecting. Right. Yeah. So using the disc and the temperament blends and going into detail there will help them give more of a framework of how to better serve the clients and keep them happy.
So, Jeremy, Tim started this out with his previous monologue talking about kind of the client from hell. Now, we work with certain companies that may do 10 projects per year. So, knowing that type of client coming in is really important. Because if if 20% of your clients are tough to deal with, that's a big deal, so two of your clients, that's 20%. So a lot of this starts with the sales side to identify what may be a problem client or somebody that's not open to communication. But once it gets to, I guess, like you said, the client's not satisfied, kind of explained people being a bit of a chameleon, dealing with different temperaments. Mm-hmm. So what is the customer service like? We've got a client that's just really unhappy. Who do we send there, or how are we dealing with it? And what's the, I don't know, I'm trying to think of that, get to the extreme moments of the bad client.
Right. Well, we deal with those, and I would say we do try to do a good job on the front end to, quote unquote, pre-qualify that client, just to make sure that they can buy into our process and we're going to be able to satisfy them. Right. Yep. So, but just the other day we had a client to where unhappy about some things, And they just, the project manager is a high S, so he wants everything to be stable and he gives a lot of information. But it just wasn't, the information wasn't what the client wanted. Like, they just want to know like where they're at on schedule and what's going to be happening over the next 2 weeks. That's as far as ahead they need to go. But they just wanted that communication done differently. And a lot of it was they needed to be called or met with in person, like to go over some things. So a big thing we promote is talk about critical things in a meeting in person. With COVID, that's been a little tough sometimes, right? So we've done it through a phone call, but then you follow up with that critical information via email. Okay. So some clients really thrive on that. And I think when you have the difficult client, the best thing is to get someone else in the company to step in and come in and make sure they know that you are concerned as a company. It's just not you're leaving your lead carpenter or project manager out on the island for them to deal with. You've got other people in the company that are concerned there to help. And so that's a lot of times where I would step in too and just try to ask the right questions to build that rapport and just to make sure they know that we care about the project and care about them.
I just wanted to take a few minutes to talk to you about getting back out on the road this year. As you may recall, I've been working on site with remodelers and builders all around the US and Canada for the past decade or so. I offer on-site consulting focused on production systems and helping your company become more efficient. This involves a two-day on-site visit. A few years ago, when I joined Remodelers Advantage, we started calling this the Tim Tour, as if I'm some kind of rock star. And I'm really anxious to get back out there and, as Southwest would say in their commercials, move about the country. Of course, I follow all CDC protocols on masks, social distancing, et cetera. And so far, we've been able to have some really productive sessions with the five or six remodelers I have worked with this past year. For more information about my on-site production training or to inquire about available dates, shoot me an email at tim@remodelersadvantage.com and I will get back to you right away with more details. So go back to the clients, and you mentioned sometimes husbands or wife or partners have different temperaments. So how do you deal with that as a project manager? How do you adapt? Does the high D have to sit through the excitement of the high I, or is there another way to deal with that that helps everybody feel like they got what they needed?
It's just knowing your client, knowing yourself, like I said, doing the DISC assessment will help you understand how you tend to communicate, your default way of communicating, and then also how that can rub people the wrong way sometimes. So now with the client, you may work well. Like, first you have to identify who the main decision maker is between the two spouses. Usually it's two, maybe it's one. But once you do that, you're really tailoring your communication to that point. But as you know, there's two decision makers there usually, and you're just trying to be cognizant of the way that their temperament is. And so they may want to be communicated with twice a week about the schedule, but the other temperament maybe want to be communicated twice a week about that you checked all the studs, that they were level. And, everything is plumb for those high C's, right? Or some of them want to hear the high S, more steady and stable, like, hey, your project is moving along great. You know, that's what they want to hear, and it's really looking beautiful, So, again, it's not an exact science. You're just you got a couple more tools in your tool bag to better manage that customer experience with them.
So, Jeremy, in the last episode, you introduced this idea of servant leadership in terms of, within the confines of your company, the internal client, if you will. So how does that impact the external client? Because I'm just sitting here thinking, like, we're already building them a kitchen, or we're building them a house, or we're going to make their lives so much better. Isn't that service enough? So give us a little bit of an idea of what that servant leadership thing means with the external client.
Well, I think the biggest thing that comes to mind is that we just have to be willing to put forth the energy and time to go to a place that we're not used to going, right? So thinking about how people like to be communicated with versus just thinking about how I'm going to build this project on time, on budget, and make sure it looks great. So serving that client can mean that you're going to be sure to be attentive to their needs and what makes them tick, what they want to see from a, you know, basically a someone that's your best friend going through this tough process or remodeling your home, right? So it's almost like you've got this relationship. So in that relationship with the client, to serve them, you've got to put forth the energy to listen well, want to go there and try to critique how you do and how you serve them. And again, I think the biggest thing I have to get across to the guys, it's going to take some more energy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can see a project manager kind of going through the notes, you know, like, okay, and then we're going to do this and then we're going to do that, and not the energy that's necessary for a lot of our clients. So, in one of our previous episodes with a sales trainer that was talking about sales for non-sales people, he mentioned this idea of PALO and or PALO or whatever. And can you give us some ideas on, like, what does that mean for you with the context of this temperament thing for a client meeting?
Yeah, well, it goes with the temperament, but it also goes with that thing I said earlier about we have to deliver a professional product no matter what. And no matter what temperament you have with the customer, that customer has, they're expecting a professional product. So the PALO, it sets up your meetings. It gives some structure to a meeting, to where you're going to be able to get through the purpose of the meeting, which is the P in PALO. You know, A is the agenda, L is logistics, and O is the outcome. So, hey, before you have that meeting, the client needs to know what the purpose of the meeting is, and through what agenda items you want to discuss, and ask them if they want to add anything to the meeting. But hey, here's a couple of things I want to review with you. Those electrical outlets, make sure they're in the right place before we do the drywall. But let me know if there's anything else you want to discuss. Logistics of when you're going to meet next time, or we're going to meet next Thursday, since we meet every Thursday, right? At 3 o'clock, still good with you? Okay. And then, you know, the outcome, if we do this and this, we'll be able to stay on track with the schedule. So those things, just putting some structure around that meeting, will make the customer feel like they're being served very well.
Very cool. So as we're wrapping this up, you've alluded to some non-negotiables, in other words, and I'd like to kind of dig into that a little bit more, so that because for example, I can imagine that if I had, let's just suppose I had a single client that was very high eye, they just loved to talk, they were very friendly, they loved to, you know, sort of kill some time by chatting and you know, a lot of small talk and things like that, I might get to feeling like quality and detail really isn't that important for that client, mm-hmm. because they're just happy having a friend, you know? And Right. So give us a little more, as we're wrapping up, give us a little more about, it doesn't matter what their temperament is, these are the non-negotiables.
Yeah, I think non-negotiables is just make sure they understand where the project is, and they understand the process of the project, and that you are that they are a priority. Okay. And that you respond to them quickly, you know, that by the end of the day, you're going to get back to them. Even if you don't have that answer right, you need to make sure you respond to that email you know, doing what you say you're going to do. If you're going to say, hey, the electrician is going to be there Thursday at 8 a.m., I'll be there, all of a sudden something changes, be sure you let them know as early as possible. So those things for managing the project, managing that customer expectation, doing what you say you're going to do, and providing a quality product is all those non-negotiables. But and how that relates to the client you're talking about, like it's really big, we're relational, that loves to talk through things. I think the type of listener you have to be really careful with is that relationship types, where, because it can be overdone, especially some of us want to talk and we get in these conversations where at the end of the day, they just need to know that, hey, time is very important, and we have an agenda, and I'd love to talk to you about this or that. That's really cool. But you need to steer it back to where, make sure they understand that your time is valuable, because otherwise those type will maybe drain your time over the course of an entire project.
Yeah, I can just see all these things you're talking about from the years that I've been in this business. And I don't know how many times lead carpenters are saying, the client just takes up all my time. They just want to talk. And I say, well, you got to stop them, you know, but at the same time, and the other thing that I think is a non-negotiable is just this idea that the client, you say, I'll get right on that. And they say, oh, no big rush.
Right.
And that comment by the client just tends to go like, oh, okay, I've got 3 or 4 days. Whereas, no, you don't. You better get right on it and get it done.
Right. Very true.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy. Well, thank you so much. This has been great. Great couple of episodes. I hope everybody will just kind of think about how this impacts their world and do whatever they can to make it happen.
Thanks so much, Jeremy. Take care.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Take care.
So, Tim, I got a number of things on this from this episode, the fuzzy file. I love that.
Yep, that's a great one.
I mean, you know, the last part there, like you said, that struck me. I mean, I had a lead carpenter that, I mean, would make you look like you never talked. He was chattiest guy on earth. And it was one of those things. It had to consistently be managed. But they have a great, I mean, this is just a great framework for managing this.
Yeah. And I love the idea of that when there's a challenge, this is a new thought to me, a challenging client, that maybe you need to think about, are you communicating with them properly? Because sometimes we'll just go back to them and say, look, I told you this, you know, or something like that. Like, you just, the louder you talk and the longer you talk, they're going to get it. And that's not necessarily true. You have to think, like, maybe we're communicating incorrectly or about the wrong things. And therefore, and if we change a little bit, maybe it'll help them, you know, come back around. So I thought that was a great point. I love the fuzzy file. And I love the idea that the project managers need to start thinking about, you know, that temperament and how am I going to connect with that client. And when we get into that, what they call the in-home handoff meeting, when they get into that, the project manager has to start making that connection. Sales already has it. Project manager is starting from scratch, trying to make that connection with the client. Again, through asking a lot of questions and just whatever they're, again, maybe not a lot of questions, depending on the temperament. So I just, this really cool stuff. And so maybe we are, you know, like, let it sit for a few months and then re-look at this with some fresh eyes in a few months.
Yeah. And one last thing, I thought it was so cool. Just that thought of, you know, the first thing that a carpenter or a project manager is going to do is how to build the project.
Right.
But they're really focusing on how to build the project for the client and their personality and how it's going to service them.
So yeah, you remember the look at it, goes, we want to build homes that clients adore.
Yes.
Well, you know what? You can build a beautiful home and the client just had a terrible experience.
Oh, yeah.
Right. 100%. Or you can build a beautiful home and they can have a great experience. And they're going to use a word like, we adore it. You know?
Yep. Awesome. Yeah. Well, again, we really want to thank Jeremy Kelly for joining us today. And we'll always want to thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, at The Tim Fowler Show, we're working really hard to eliminate "it is what it is" from your vocabulary.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.